Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER Group First Half 2019 Consolidated Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for joining this conference call today about our first half 2019 results. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm here with Roberto Ferrari, CFO, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. As introduction to this conference call, I'd like to highlight the key points, trying to keep my comments as shorter as I can in order to leave you enough time for the Q&A session and to allow the luckiest of you to leave for the holidays. Please go to the executive summary of the presentation on page four, which is already available on our website. Before a quick overview of the extraordinary deals you all know about closed in July, at the beginning of this presentation, I'd like to focus on the ordinary activity of the group, commenting the first half consolidated results, bringing to your attention few key messages. First, we have been able to show a resilient profitability despite difficult macroeconomic scenario and low negative interest rates levels. First half closed with a net profit of a bit more than 100 million euro. That is, as you all know, not directly comparable with the first half 2018 results of 307.9 million euro, which included non-recurring gains realized on debt securities. We consider this result satisfactory because it comes after having charged recurring and non-recurring costs related to systemic funds close to 50 million euro. Indeed, in addition to the yearly contribution of 23 million euro to the Single Resolution Fund, we had no recurring contribution for 9.6 million euro and one-off cost of 13.3 million euro for the intervention on Carige. Said this, I'd like to remember the resiliency of revenues, in particular of the commissions, as we are going to see later on, the decline of operating cost by 1% year-on-year, and a relatively low cost of risk at 33 basis points under control and in line with our expectations. Second, our capital position is further improving. We have been able to manage capital in a very effective way, and our capital position continues to be very solid. Our CET1 ratio fully phased at the end of Q2 is at 12.33%, up by 9 basis points versus Q1 and 38 basis points versus December 2018. Third, asset quality. Our strong commitment in improving asset quality continued also in this period. Gross NPE stock are well below 7 billion euro, and the ratio came at 13.7%. The very good news I'd like to point out is that thanks to the bad loans disposal to Unipol Rec and the acquisition of Unipol Banca, deals closed on July 31st, we can record a remarkable drop by nearly 2 percentage points of our NPE ratio to 11.8% on a pro forma basis. Let me remind you that this last disposal has been closed without any impact on P&L. We are working on different projects in order to further accelerate the decrease of the stock, and we are confident to be able to deliver successfully as our track record clearly shows. Default rate is still low at 1.8 annualized in the presence of an encouraging recovery rate of 6.4% and the cure rate around 8.5%. For on business, even though customer loan stock is slightly down from the peak of the end of last year, we had a positive development of commercial activity, especially in mortgages. Stock of total funding grew again in the first half, close to 95 billion euro, including the bank assurance segment, which recorded a significant increase in volume. Finally, let me say that we did not deliver only extraordinary deals in the last period, but let's go back to it in a minute. But we work on the implementations of the actions scheduled in the new business plan 2019-2021, in particular on cost-saving and company simplification sides. We closed 48 branches out of 230 foreseen in the 3 years business plan horizon and finalized the incorporation of Beeper Services, our IT back middle office company, into the parent company. Let's now turn to page 5, in which we summarize the achievement on external deals closed in July. In this slide, we summarize the 3 strategic transactions announced in February this year and closed in July with a timing that was perfectly in line with our expectations. In the bottom right of the slide, in the interest to provide a complete view of our transactions announced in the first month of the year, we reported also the additional deal related to the project of the public exchange offer on the 7 shares of Banco di Sardegna announced in March that we hope to finalize by the end of the year. Obviously, I don't want to recap the detail of these deals well known by all of you, but I'd like to highlight that we have been able to deliver on schedule a complex set of deals with the aim to increase in scale, to create value, to accelerate further the risking process, and to strengthen our already strong capital base. Only a couple of messages. The group's profitability will be supported by the benefits expected from the efficiencies related to the increase of the controlling stake in Banco di Sardegna from 51% to close to 100%. The extension of the scope of the banking group to Unipol Banca and the costs and revenues synergies that we will be able to extract. The opportunity to pursue, together with the other shareholders, the full exploitation of Arca Holding, as well as some positive trends we see in the ordinary business activity. This view is also supported by the consideration that at the time of joining our banking group, Unipol Banca shows excellent half-year results. A consolidated net profit of over 21 million euro, almost doubled compared to last year, and the net equity which exceeds 570 million euro, higher than expected thanks to the increase in reserves and the good level of profitability achieved. Furthermore, the group will benefit from a significant acceleration of the de-risking process since, in addition to the disposal of bad loans to Unipol REC, it must be considered that Unipol Banca presents the credit quality at the top of the system with a gross NP ratio of 8.8%. So, as a consequence, the gross NP ratio of the group on a pro forma basis, as I said before, drops to 11.8%. For your convenience, in the annex, we reported the main financial figures of the first half 2019 results of Unipol Banca on a consolidated basis. Now let's go quickly into the analysis of the first half figures, starting from the balance sheet. We can move on to page 7. Here we can appreciate the growth of total funding at €94.7 billion in June, compared to €91.3 billion at the end of 2018, up by 3.7%, with an increase in all the aggregates, direct funding now at €51 billion, and indirect bancassurance segments reaching €43.6 billion. Let's turn to page eight. Here we can see more in detail the breakdown of the direct funding, which comes at €51 billion, up by 2.1% since December 2018. Customer funding comes at €46.5 billion, showing a growth by 3.3% since December, recording a further strong increase in current account and sight deposit by 5.2%, mainly due to the conservative approach of customer to financial investment in this current environment and a decrease of retail bonds and CDs. The institutional funding dropped by 9.6% since December due to a decrease of repos by €1.1 billion, partially offset by an increase of bonds due to the issue of a covered bond for €0.6 billion in March 2019. On page nine, stock of indirect funding and bancassurance recorded a positive trend, up by 5.8% since the end of the last year, mainly due to the increase in life insurance segment by +8.8% and a positive market effect on asset under management. Bancassurance sector in June reached the level of €5.4 billion. This is one of the sector we are focusing on, and we think we may have great opportunity to exploit there. We believe that customers are more and more sensitive to protection products, especially in this uncertain financial market scenario. It can support also profitability through higher fees. Moving on to page 10, you see the trend of customer loans. We recorded a decrease both in net and gross loans, -1.1% since December 2018. Trend in net performing loans is anyway better of what we had in June 2018. Net mortgage stock is up by 1.9%, showing the ability to be supportive on a commercial business despite the difficult economic conditions. Also, the new production of mortgages shows a very positive performance, up by 21.4% compared to first half 2018. The de-risking process is still going on, as we'll see in the next page. The good quality of the performing loans book is still confirmed. On page 11, you can see the non-performing exposure. Gross NPEs at the end of first half 2019 is confirmed below €7 billion, with a ratio of 13.7. NPE bad loans coverage are still high at 54.8 and 67 respectively. But the main figure of this slide is the NPE ratio pro forma, including the disposal of about €1 billion of bad loans to Unipol Rec and the acquisition of 100% of Unipol Banca. It comes at 11.8%, with a drop of almost 2 percentage points compared with the stated June 2019 figure of 13.7. It is obvious that this is not the target we have in mind, and in fact we are committed to accelerate further on the risking. We can anticipate that we are working hard with the goal of trying to reach a single-digit target by mid-2020. We are confident to be able to deliver successfully, as our track record clearly shows. Moving on to page 12, the default rate stays low at 1.8 annualized. We can appreciate the strong improvement of the bad loans recovery rate is 6.4% annualized compared to 5.3% in 2018. This is a very important confirmation that our servicing platform, Libre Credit Management, is a very efficient machine and it is doing an excellent job and playing an important role within our overall NP strategy. Page 13, the securities portfolio is broadly stable at 17.2 billion euro. Also, the stock of Italian Gov is pretty stable at 5.2 billion euro since December 2018, and it counts for 31% of the securities portfolio with a duration of 4.1 years. The duration of the total portfolio is 2.8 years. Now we can move on to profit and loss figures on page 15. Here the only comment it is worth doing is about the quality of the profit. As you know, first half 2019 figures are not comparable to the first half 2018 ones, which were affected by the non-recurring realized gains on bonds and the first-time adoption of the IFRS 9 accounting principle. First half 2019 closed with a net profit of a bit more than 100 million euro that we can consider satisfactory because it comes after having charged recurring and non-recurring costs related to the systemic funds close to 50 million euro. In particular, we can show a decline of operating cost, minus 1% year on year, and a resilient ordinary NII and commissions, in particular on asset under management, the bank assurance segments, up by 1.6% year on year. Q2 net profit came at good level of 52.5 million euro compared to 48 million euro in Q1, up by 9.5%. We can go very quickly, I promise, through the main trend related to the profit and loss, starting from the net interest income on the next page 16. In the comparison with first half 2018, NII decreased by 4.8% year on year, mainly displayed by the IFRS 9 and IFRS 16 effects. In fact, if we exclude these effects, what we call in favor of simplicity, ordinary NII looks resilient, only minus 1.6 year on year. Looking at the Q2, we can find substantially the same kind of resiliency with the NII broadly stable over the last three quarters. On page 17, we can see the net commissions and the first half net commissions remained substantially flat year on year. In particular, we can appreciate the very positive performance of bank assurance fees, up by 18.9% year on year, while the decrease of asset under management fees by 3% year on year was mainly driven by the reduction of upfront fees year on year. On page 18, trading income was positive for 27.5 million euro. Also, in this case, not comparable with the first half 2018 for significant non-recurring realized gains on bonds. Trading contribution in Q2 was lower than in Q1, 5.4 euro, million euro versus 22.1 million euro. Moving forward on page 19, in the first half, operating costs are down by 1% year on year, an encouraging signal of improvement given the positive expectations we have on cost side when the actions included in the business plan will be fully implemented. Other administrative expenses and D&A impacted by the accounting effects of IFRS 16 and not directly comparable on a year-on-year comparison. On a pro forma basis, net of IFRS 16 effects, administrative expenses and D&A down respectively by 1.6% and 15.7% year-on-year. On page 20, loan loss provisions came at €74.6 million, substantially in line with the previous quarter. Cost of credit came at a low of 63 basis points. Here we can see also the stable level of provision and cost of credit in the last 4 quarters. About liquidity on page 22, our liquidity position is solid thanks to the growth of the total eligible asset, now at €19.3 billion, increased by €0.6 billion versus the end of 2018, along with a bucket of unencumbered eligible assets of €7.6 billion, and extra liquidity of €1.2 billion made by deposit with the ECB. Both LCR and NSFR ratios stand well above 100%. On page 23, you can see our very solid capital position with a common equity one fully phased at 12.33%, up by 9 basis points compared with the 12.24% in Q1, and up by 38 basis points versus the end of 2018. I think this is a remarkable result, in particular in light of the challenging economic and market environment. Now, in conclusion, we have arrived at the end of the presentation, and let me highlight briefly the key final messages on page 25. First, on capital. One of the points of strength of BPER Group is the capability to manage in a very effective way the capital and the liquidity position. This is confirmed also in the first half 2019, in which the Common Equity One fully phased reached the level of 12.33%, improving both versus March 19 and December 18. In addition, our group presents a very good liquidity situation and a very low leverage. Second, on asset quality. You know that only 3 years ago, our gross NPE ratio was at 23.5%. Our current gross NPE ratio pro forma of 11.8, along with a solid capital position, represent for us a very important achievement. But we are aware that our job on the risking is not completed yet, and we are fully committed to accelerate in respect of what we embedded in the business plan. Our track record demonstrates that we will be able to do this. Third, on profitability, all these achievements come along with a good profitability trend. Net profit and revenues are resilient, operating costs are showing signals of improvement, the cost of risk is relatively low and under control. Starting from this situation and considering the expected benefits from the extraordinary deals and from the business plan actions, BPER Group has the real opportunity of reaching a good and sustainable level of profitability. So overall, a satisfactory situation at a good starting point for the rest of the year. Thank you all for your time and attention. Now we are ready to start the Q&A session and to take your questions. Thank you.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Jean Neuez of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to ask two really quick questions in light of recent developments from the regulation and the ECB perspective. The first one is, you've historically benefited from a great funding position with barely any reliance on the wholesale market, which has been a long-term advantage in terms of stability, yet the new regulation forces banks to issue a fair bit of senior and non-preferred bonds. I don't see any so far in your liability structure. I might be wrong, apart from the subordinated ones. I just wanted to understand where you saw your strategy at this point in terms of tapping markets and whether you had early conversation as to your issuance plans going forward and how you plan in particular with the retail component. And my second question was on net interest income. Obviously, there has been the change in monetary policy from the ECB recently, and I just wanted to understand whether you'd be willing to share an updated sensitivity for your net interest income. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. I give the floor to Roberto Ferrari for the question about our funding plan and in particular on some potential issue on REL and so on.
Okay, so the first question, actually, good afternoon to you, is on MREL. It's important to say that we have a positive buffer on MREL, and that we have planned 1 billion of issuances in senior preferred or senior non-preferred. It depends also on the subordination requirement that we didn't get yet. And we will issue them in 2020 and 2021. It's very important also to say that we still have 2.8 billion together with Unipol Banca, 2.8 billion of senior bonds issued on the retail network. So the structural cost of our liabilities, of our bonds, will actually get lower, not higher, through the redemption of the retail bonds and the issuances of the MREL wholesale bonds. On the second point, on net interest income sensitivity, we have 7.5% of our net interest income for a 100 basis point increase, and plus 7.5 clearly, and minus 0.6% for a 10 basis point decrease, minus 0.6%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone of Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Four questions, actually. The first one is if you can provide the risk-weighted assets of Unipol Banca as of June. The second, also on capital, if you can recap the negative headwinds and the positive tailwinds vis-à-vis regulatory capital in H2 19. The third one is on the new definition of default, if you can remind us if you're planning to apply that already this year or later on, and if you can guide us on the increase on NPE that this will trigger. And the final question is on the usage of the badwill, which is higher than you had guided for because the equity is higher, the equity of Unipol Banca is higher. So is it still confirmed that more or less you're planning to use all of it to cover the restructuring charges, personnel related, and higher NPE coverage and asset write-down, or there's something different to say? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrea, for your question. About the first point is on RWA of Unipol. Unipol has RWA around 5 billion at the end of June 19, 5 billion euro. I will take also the question about a new definition of default. No new definition goal. We are waiting to understand if it's possible to have the go live in the third or fourth Q 2019. So we are trying to have these elements. About the impact, we have an impact on the stock of NPL, an immediate impact of around 200 million. And at the same time, a reduction on RWA around 170 million. About badwill, first of all, let me say that is a very positive news to have more badwill than expected. So now, if we compare the price paid for Unibank at 220 and the net equity around 575 million euro, so we have probably something around 40 million euro of more badwill, potential badwill for in this transaction. Let's say that looking at the situation of Unipol Banca, we can say that this is a bank that has already completed a strong cleanup actions, and so the credit portfolio is already after a strong disposal of bad loans. At the same time, this bank has no significant real estate property. So let's say I think that we are going to have a very rigorous purchase price allocation, but at the same time, I think that this badwill of around 350 million euro is an important element. So we are trying to understand how to use it. I think that one point is positive for BPER to offset the impact of the redundancy plan. So you know that we are working on this, and we are not sure if the impact will be on the third, on the fourth queue. But anyway, this is one of the potential advantages to have the badwill in this year. And in the same time, it's possible to use partially also for some extraordinary provision on non-performing. We are working for an acceleration in the risking, as we said during this conference call, and we have a good level of coverage in a significant portion of bad loans that we think that is possible to work for a new disposal. And I think that part of this badwill can be used for an extra provision. It's too early to say. We are only some days after the completion of the deal. But anyway, this is probably the first picture about the potential usage of the badwill. I don't remember if there was another question. If you can repeat, please, I try to give you an answer, or I don't know if
The tailwind and the headwinds on capital. You had given the full amount in the business plan up to 2021. My question is if any of it, positive or negative, is coming this year.
No, we have no expectation for this year coming from this. You know that the area where we try to understand is the trim that we have already completed, but we are still waiting for the outcome of this action. But you can remember that during the trim there was also the presentation of the new model for the large corporate. So there is a very positive combination of the effect of the trim on one side and the positive effect coming from the PD large corporate. So we have no worry about this. Potentially we can have also some benefit coming from the at the end from the trim. So this is our expectation.
The next question is from Riccardo Rovere of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. Just a couple of questions from my side. I noticed the taxation is positive in this quarter. This has been a kind of, or let's say, very low taxation has been a common, has been pretty common over the past few quarters. It's probably I've written up some maybe off-balance sheet DTAs. This is what I would imagine. Is this something that is going to go on every single quarter from now on? And if I remember correctly, but please correct me if I'm wrong, in past conference calls you mentioned a tax rate in the region of 10%. Now, is it could for 2019, could this be the case also for the years to come, if I remember correctly, the guidance on tax rate, of course?
Okay, Riccardo, thank you very much for your question. What I can say is that for 2019, our expectation is to have, at the end of the year, a tax rate around 10%. So I confirm the level of this 10%. For the next year, 2020, our expectation is to have a tax rate between 15 and 20%. For the 2020 and the progressive alignment to 30% in the next year, 2021. This is the trend, so 10, 15, 20 next year, and then a progressive alignment to 30%.
And this is due to the recognition of DTAs that are currently not recognized, is that correct to say?
Exactly, correct, correct.
Okay, okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. If I may, perhaps to make our life easier, I was just wondering if you could give guidance for, you know, the second half, some of the key items, if possible, given with the contribution of Unipol. So I was thinking NII, fees, CET1 ratio as well, and particularly, you know, NII. I mean, there's always some, there might be some group effects from being Unipol being inside a different group. And so moving into, you know, BPRA, I was just wondering if we should take those numbers that you show in the presentation at face value, or if there will be some readjustments when, you know, after July. Thank you.
Well, it's not simple to express clearly the second half of the year for the combination of different deals, because there will be not only Unipol Bank consolidation, but also the Arca holding Arca Group consolidation. Then at the end, there will be another effect coming from the minority stake that we bought in Banco di Sardegna. So there is a very different elements. What I can say, starting from the standalone basis, starting from the top of profit and loss, is that our expectation is to have a stable NII compared with the first half of this year, and some positive effect on commission and fees. If you look at also the two quarter 2019, there was a significant increase between the first one and the second, and probably is important to underline that there is a stable NII compared also 2018 and 2019. There are some very important action on different area, and we are positive on the commission and fee levels. Let's say that in this situation, yes, we have we expect to have a positive support also by Unipol Banca, and we can say that it's possible to have some benefits working on the cost of funding, that we are already analyzing some potential benefit from good managing of the liquidity position. And so, let's say, the second half, in our view, would be positive for BPER Group. There is another point. Let's say, our expectation is to see an ordinary cost of risk lower than in the first half. This is thanks to the action completing during the first half 2019. So we are positive for the second half of the year from this ordinary level of cost of risk. And let's say the last point, looking at the capital position and this, all these elements, what my expectation is at the end of the year that BPER Group will be in 12% area on, in terms of Common Equity 1. This is what I can say about this very important second half, where, as I said before, there will be many effects coming from Arca Holding, Unipol Banca, and Banco di Sardegna.
All right, thank you. So if I may just follow up, I mean, on Arca, are you still, is the intention to just fully integrate kind of the business, or is there an intention, you know, I think you're looking, potential looking options to, you know, I don't know, find other partners to expand the distribution, you know, how are you thinking about that?
Well, let's say, first of all, that we are very satisfied for this deal because Arca is an historical partner for BPER, for many other banks in Italy. And let's say the performance of Arca, the performance also of the funds managed by Arca are extremely positive in the last year. Said this, as I said in many other occasions, I would say that is not a priority for BPER Group to have the control of Arca. What is important to maintain the an independent asset manager and working with the other shareholders, starting from Popolare Sondrio, we want to understand what is the best solution, the best opportunity for Arca. And after the summertime, I think it's possible to complete the analysis started last month and to take some decision on Arca. What I can say that, first of all, we are satisfied of Arca on one side, and on the other one, is not a priority for BPER to have the control. Said this, I repeat, we try to understand what is the best for Arca for a full evaluation of this important asset manager. But it's too early to give you a clear path for Arca, and we want to complete the analysis, and this will be probably after the summertime.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ignacio Cerezo of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon. couple of quick questions from me. The first one is on the dividend policy. If you can give us expectation for the year end, and how much have you been accruing in the first half? And the second one is in terms of the asset quality cleanup, the risking, whichever you want to call it. And any NPL disposal, do you think it's going to be concentrated on sovereigns loans or UTP? And what are the NII considerations of deciding one or the other? Thank you.
So thank you, Ignacio, for your questions. I would take the first two questions and the third one about NII. I try to give some first element. Dividend policy. Well, first of all, our policy and our approach for the dividend is not to have up and down year after year, but to have a trend. So let me say that our idea for 2019 is to confirm the level of last year and if it's possible to do something better than in 2018. Said this, we have already completed large part of the level of dividend of 2019. So we have already accrued 11 cent this year, and so we have already very close to our target, and this is the first point. Second answer on asset quality. First of all, let me express the satisfaction for what we were able to do in the last years, and also this year we have a significant drop in NPE ratio, and now we are at 11.8. We are working on different projects, and this time probably there will be something also on the UTP, not only bad loans. Obviously, the last part of a potential disposal that we want to try to complete the first half 2020 using GACS will be on bad loans, but at the same time, we are already working on unlikely to pay portfolio, working in particular on some single names and small portfolio. And let's say that this first experience on unlikely to pay is, from my point of view, positive. So what is important to say that there is a significant interest, and we are trying to complete the first deals in BPER of unlikely to pay. So the effect on the NP gross ratio will be a combination of significant disposal through GACS on one side, unlikely to pay portfolio, and also single small portfolio of bad loans, and the end, obviously, the recovery activity of our BPER credit management. So this combination, I think it's possible to go single digit next year, is our strong objective and is an important step in our strategy in the risking. There was another question about NII, Roberto.
Yeah, if the question was how much of the NII in the first half was due to NPEs, I mean bad loans and UTP, it was around 30 million in the first half 2019.
Follow up one thing on one.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. A quick question on net interest income. I see that the customer spread went down in the quarter. Maybe you just answered just a clarification. What do you expect in the coming quarters? I see that the deposits are going up. year to date. Also, do you see room to switch some deposits into assets under management, so to boost fees? And then on financial portfolio, there are some reserves, positive reserves on the portfolio. There is room to freeze any capital gain on that portfolio going to the end of the year. So there is room to increase capital on the securities portfolio, through the securities portfolio. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Christian, for your question. Well, speaking on NII, first of all, let's say that from our point of view, it is extremely important to present a stable NII in the last three quarters. So you can see that is around 272, 273. So now there is let's say a level that we are able to confirm. Obviously, every day we are working to deal with NII, to work to try to have all the options to increase and also to have a positive effect on our revenues. And you said before, the migration from direct to indirect deposit and so on. And this is the typical action. And let's say you can also see the positive trend in insurance, product, life, and also on asset under management. Said this about the securities portfolio, I think there are some positive elements both in the BPER portfolio but also in the Unipol portfolio. Roberto, if you want to explain this point.
Christian, hi. In the financial portfolio at the end of July, we had around 270 million of positive reserve. The most of it is in amortized cost, so they are not embedded in our common equity one ratio. But we have a positive impact also on fair value other comprehensive income, around 40 million. And I would say that on our common equity, on the overall bond portfolio, we have a sensitivity that is around 40 basis points of capital for 100 basis point decrease in rates.
Okay, and there is room to freeze those capital gain, or?
Yeah, there is a possibility to actually to sell some bonds and to have a positive impact on the profit and loss, but clearly we already have the impact on the common equity also through fair value as a comprehensive income.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you very much. No closing remarks, just thank you very much for your attention and have a good evening and see you soon. And thank you again. Bye-bye.